my first guest, who I'm going to let him tell you the name of it. His name is Ron Maimon. Is that right, Ron?
Hi, how do you do? Yes, that's correct. My name is Ron Maimon. That was a old Russian song from the war celebrating the partisans who were fighting in Yugoslavia in areas of the invaded in the east by Germany. It's a very stirring song, not political. It's just a celebration of the resistance. And yeah. I think that we're facing a situation where, unfortunately, we have that kind of problem, not the kind of problem that we normally have every 4 years or every 8 years with issues of various importance. We have a problem of an existential nature, a threat to our nature as a society, a threat to our nature as human beings.
So let me just say that I met you was this past weekend at another, there's so many Trump rallies and protests, so this was on Saturday against Trump and Bannon, and there were two groups. One was supposed to come from Union Square, which got kind of derailed because of the market at Union Square. But then I believe it was the group that you were with came from Queens over one of the bridges. Is that right?
Indeed, that's true. And we filled up the whole bridge.
Wow.
As the city council member told us.
Which bridge was it?
The Queensboro Bridge, I think. I don't remember the name of it.
So when you arrived at the same vicinity of Trump Tower as the other group, you were kept separated, which I kind of didn't understand.
Yes, there were three separate protests, each one with its own agenda. It's a symptom of the disjointed nature of the protests, and it's spontaneous. Nobody expected to have to face something like this. And there is no organized effort to put into place measures that can prevent potential criminality by the new government. And I don't mean the usual sort of stuff that we talk about every year about someone evaded taxes or that there was an email server that was hidden or some such thing. I'm talking about fundamental criminality. And this is a danger that we've never faced before. Because the people that we have elected have been vetted by previous positions of government. Whenever we've placed someone at the position of the presidency, their staff has been vetted by previous positions in government as governors. We have now a collection of people that have never been vetted by previous office holding, and we don't know their agenda. And from the things we do know, their agenda is that of what is called the alt-right, or more precisely, the neo-Nazi movement. And it is very easy to put your head in the sand and say that, well, this is a very small minority. How can they impose their will on the majority? But one must remember that in 1933, the rabid views of the Nazi Party were also held by a small minority, and they were imposed by a systematic series of steps. And one must know these steps, and one must know the propaganda that was placed out to make this transition to totalitarianism possible, because it started out with a constitutional democracy. Germany in 1933 was a constitutional republic. And after the election, after plurality, Hitler won a plurality, there were steps taken to convert a constitutional republic into an authoritarian, autocratic form of government. Now, my intention is not to say that Trump is himself. He has a vision of a nightmarish society like the 1930s Germany. But his campaign speeches are essentially plagiarized from Adolf Hitler.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to violate Godwin's law. I'm saying that because it is a fact. When you hear about him talking about Muslims celebrating on 9/11, dancing on 9/11. The point is not that it's a lie. It was a lie, but that's not the main point. The point is, where did this lie come from? Why would he think it up? He thought it up because it's an echo of a remark that the new Chancellor Hitler made in 1933, that on the night of the Reichstag fire, the false flag event, the burning down of the Reichstag, which led to the assumption of power by Hitler over Germany, on the night of the Reichstag fire, the Jews were dancing in the Jewish quarter in Berlin. It's the same attack because he's plagiarizing the speeches. And the plagiarism is from the beginning to the end. Make Germany great again, make America great again. This is the same campaign. It's the same themes. Mm-hmm. And the sense of the themes is divisiveness, separating one group of people from another group of people, saying that we can't all share in the bounties of the nation, that rather one group of people is in permanent competition with another group of people. It's a Darwinian view. And this Darwinian struggle is at the essence. That's the foundation of the doctrine of Nazism. The fundamental philosophy is that we are in a Darwinian struggle for existence, for resources, and that if one group of people gets more, if someone does better, our group does worse. And in order to fight over this finite resources, we must put into place restrictions and differential access, which allow our group better access to the wealth, better access to power. And the way to do it is by a position of authoritarianism. Now, I'm not saying that Trump believes all these things. I don't know. I have no idea. But that is my fear. I really don't know because he hasn't said anything that I can latch onto and say this is his platform.
What do you think about the people who say, like, let's wait and see, which, I was a psych major. I say this all the time. I studied the abusive family system. And the way that I look at this, it's like, you know, like once you're in a previous abusive relationship, you know the signs and symptoms. I mean, we've had histories. I mean, well, some people have been alive long enough to know the history, right, of like Hitler and things that you're talking about. I mean, the young people don't, but even they seem to be able to recognize, a lot of young people seem to recognize, you know, a dictator fascist when they see one. You know, it's sometimes it's the older people that just get too comfortable with dictators and, you know.
I agree, but I want to point out that waiting to see allows an institution, when you have a government that doesn't follow constitutional norms, the longer you wait, the more they violate the Constitution, the more they violate democratic precedent, and the less ability you have to change anything. Remember, all that you need to do is to make sure that there is no violation of constitutional norms. I'll give you an example. Trump, yesterday, has met with leaders of the press and has denounced their lying. At the same day, there was a horribly disturbing video of the alt-right conference of white nationalists where they were putting out their arms.
What did he say that the press was lying about?
That they are systematically lying. They're presenting a lying view of the world. It's not a specific attack. Now, you see, in this case, lying about Trump and his agenda and his people. The point is that this attack is also copied from Hitler, and that was the first target after the election, was to place people in positions of power within the various newspapers in Germany and to drive out of business those that would not play along and would not do propaganda. Trump has threatened lawsuits against the press. He is not constrained by the idea that the press is fundamentally independent of the government in the United States of America. Okay? So what we find is that...
And you're not in New York City, right, with that car alarm?
Oh, sorry, there was a car alarm outside, which was disturbing. Now, the idea of separation of the press and the government is the fundamental thing that gives us the liberty to be able to read news without bias. And if you threaten that by attacking the press with lawsuits, by pressure you are allowed to put in people from of band and selection into various newspaper editorial boards, within a few years you can't read anything except that which is approved by the government. And once that happens, there is no opposition.
Exactly.
No one can protest. Right. No one can speak and be heard.
Didn't Trump not even allow press to come with him on various...
Indeed, that's another massive violation of precedent. He has not held the press conferences. He has not informed the press of his movements, and he has not let them interview him in a one-on-one fashion. Instead, he prefers to send out little propaganda videos.
If I could just...
on YouTube.
I just wanted to introduce, you know, how I ended up meeting you on Saturday. You know, when your group showed up, you know, by Trump Tower, your group was on 58th and 5th. I was over by the other group, so I came over to kind of like, you know, greet you guys. You were in the pen. There were a lot of you, and then a Trump supporter actually was walking by and started, you know, kind of saying things to the, you know, the group, I'm going to use the word protectors also, like they do in Standing Rock, you know, saying things to the protectors, you know, saying that they were paid, saying that they're betraying the country, which I don't know how, where he got that from, because if any, he's, you know, he's telling the crowd to, you're betraying your country and that you need to back your country, and I'm over here thinking, well, maybe when our country is on our side, we'll be on its side, you know?
You're right, but that is not my main concern. My main concern is that this idea, this meme of paid protesters,
yeah,
is now flooding the media. You hear about people getting paid to protest. You know what? For all I know, someone at the protest was paid. It is not illegal to pay protesters in this country. The people in the Tea Party, many of them were paid through organizations linked to the Koch brothers. I don't know if you remember, but Obama tried to audit those organizations and see their finances. This was attacked in the press correctly as an attack on constitutional liberty. I want to point out that when you say protesters are paid and you make it sound like that's a criminal activity, I was never paid, of course. I don't think anyone around me was paid. But I want to point out that the very fact that there's an attack on these protesters is paid is a warning that those protesters are going to come under investigation and they're going to be arrested. They're going to be investigated, that they're part of somehow an illegitimate activity in protesting the election of this president. There's nothing illegitimate about protest, and there's nothing illegal about protest. And yet at the same time, it's being made to be look like a subversion, an act of hostility toward the United States of America. This is exactly the type of thing, criminalizing the ordinary is exactly the way in which you convert a democratic system into an authoritarian system.
This is what I mean.
This is one of the warning signs.
Right, it's
the people. I agree with you. The guy did think we were paid. I mean, he was convinced within a minute that we were not paid because our conversation involved topics that didn't appear in the media. He was asking me, his claim was that we are not in the same position as 1933 Germany. Because in 1933 Germany, as he said, the public was not very well educated. I pointed them out that 1933 Germany was the place where quantum mechanics had just been constructed. It was the top of culture, Schoenberg and classical music. They had a history of Beethoven and Mozart. They were creating fine arts. They had the best artists in the world. They had the best scientists in the world. Einstein was at that time in Germany. And the revolutions of the 20th century in logic, Kurt Gödel was a German. All those revolutions in thought were founded in Germany pre-1933. And after 1933, it all ended because the new government removed freedom of speech, removed freedom of thought, and instituted their lackeys as political overlords over everything that was done in academic positions. This is not normal in the United States.
Right.
And I want to say that in the 2000s, during the George W. Bush administration, there was some politicization of science, but it was generally restricted. You had stem cell research was attacked for political reasons. Okay, certain aspects of science were attacked for political reasons. But if you have a person who does not respect constitutional norms, every aspect of science can be attacked for political reasons. You do not have science in a state that makes decisions who to fund and who not to fund based on their politics. And as far as we can see, everything the Trump administration has done so far, everything is a quid pro quo. If you don't support Trump, you are not competent to be in the administration. You are not competent to be part of the team that decides the policy. And I'm not talking about liberals or Democrats. I'm talking about conservative Republicans. They are not part of this administration if they do not support the Trump agenda. And so far as we can see, the Trump agenda, from the people he has appointed, there's only one thing that unites them, which is white supremacy.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that unites people like Flynn and Bannon,
right,
and
Sessions.
Sessions, indeed.
So you,
the only theme that unites these people is their support for white supremacy and their long activism in neo-Nazi message boards online. These people are not without a history on these alt-right message boards.
And, I mean, they even suspended that teacher for kind of making the same points. I mean, even like that...
Yes, that's not the Trump campaign. Those are Trump supporters. Remember, Trump supporters are not Nazis. Trump supporters are...
You mean that?
Normal people who get caught up in a movement. They don't know what they're doing. It's not like they have a plan or an agenda. They're drawn in by the rhetoric. It was not in the same way they were as they were in 1930 Germany. I want to point out that the basic philosophy of Nazism is very important to understand. The basic philosophy of Nazism is social Darwinism. It's not even racism. A Nazi does not look to see if your skin is white. That's not sufficient. If you're a white homosexual, they'll put you in a camp and execute you. If you're a disabled white guy, they'll kill you. It's not about your race. That's not their source of identity. It's about your fitness.
Right.
It's about how fit you are. Are you a great Aryan Superman? Are you capable of producing the next generation of great Aryan Supermen?
Well,
if you are, then you're part of the team.
That's how
if
Hitler
not,
got
not.
Started, right? I mean, Hitler started like trying to eliminate like the mentally, you know, challenged people. I mean, didn't he start out by genociding the, what, you know? What,
yes, indeed. But you shouldn't look at Trump in those lenses, because Trump is not going to pass laws on euthanasia. That's not going to happen. Okay, that's not his motivation. His motivation is economic, to get the country rolling. Which is also, I want to point out, the majority of people who voted in the 1930s had the same motivation. But the point is that... The point is that... The point is that despite the fact that the motivations are not necessarily eugenicist or evil in any way, the fact that the campaign is plagiarizing this campaign, they're plagiarizing Hitler's campaign, the fact that their appointments are taken, are made by Bannon, who is a leader of this alt-right movement, and rubber-stamped by Priebus, who is a powerless peon, that means that you've set up a very fringe group in a position to put people in positions of power all over the government who have no scruples, no respect for the rule of law, no respect for the Constitution, and the desire to fundamentally manipulate the United States to accept authoritarian rule with a racist agenda. And that is something that you've never had before. Even it's worse than white Southern Democrats. It's worse than Dixiecrats. Dixiecrats had the traditional racist philosophy. It wasn't the Nazi Darwinist philosophy. It was a traditional racist American philosophy. It's horrible. But it's not like the Nazi philosophy. The Nazi philosophy is much more totalitarian and much more virulent.
And people seem to, I'm just going to say, Ron, the Trump supporter on Saturday, you know, he was... You know, so you're saying that Trump is Hitler, but you said that Bannon was more like Hitler and Trump was just a puppet.
Right. Trump is a guy who, he's not that clever. He's not as eloquent as Hitler, but his campaign wasn't being run by himself. He had a bunch of people around him. And the guy who was emulating Hitler, as far as I can tell, from the most part, is Bannon. Although Trump himself is not uncomfortable with such things. This doesn't make him uncomfortable because... For him, as far as I can tell, he's sort of a wealth supremacist. He believes that rich people know best. And if those rich people happen to be mostly white, well, so be it. The point is that the voice of those who control the money is the voice that should be heard. And the inclination is to create, again, a Darwinian battle of a Darwinian competition. It's an anti-Christian philosophy. It's an anti-American philosophy, and it must be resisted. And that resistance is...
Someone's trying to say something there? Do they want
to... Sorry, that was just my father making comments to me in Hebrew. It's not important. The its essence of this movement is Darwinism. Now I want to point out, what can we do? It's not enough to be desperate.
I am sorry, but he is speaking all the time. He is not letting you express your view.
I apologize. Now, the question of what to do in this position, what do we do in this circumstance? How is it that you react to a government that does not respect constitutional norms? There is no way to change the Electoral College. All these things are just venting of steam. Okay, you can't legally do anything regarding the Electoral College. The thing to do is to look at your state government and your local government. Within the state and local government, there are ways to prevent things that happened in Germany in the 1930s from ever happening in your area. And you have to do it area by area and state by state, and you must do it quickly, because once they start, you won't have friendly representatives. It's possible to replace
If I could just, I want to kind of just back up just a little bit, because I did see a video where Trump was actually talking about, you know, some like people being born smarter than others. You know, like the whole kind of, you know, nature versus nurture. It was like people were just, right, like born smarter.
Look, it's part of their philosophy. It's something that you have to understand. Their philosophy is that people, there are some superior people, there are some not superior people. There are the Untermenschen and the supermen. And the supermen are destined to rule. This is the basic idea. It's shared by all fascist and right-wing movements. Now,
Could I just say also that you had told the Trump supporter Ron that you despised Hillary Clinton, but you voted for her because you didn't want to live in a police state.
Indeed. I mean, look, Hillary Clinton was corrupt. She's not a clean candidate. She has accepted money through the foundation from foreign leaders. She has all sorts of scandals that are illegitimate. There are illegitimate ones too, but there are legitimate scandals, including Travelgate from the 90s. Yes, those are scandals, but those are the usual scandals of government. Because she is a person who understands constitutional limitations and follows constitutional norms, despite the fact that she sometimes overreaches. So the scandal she has would be no worse than someone, say Nixon, or that's the worst example I could think of, but anyone, a Reagan with Iran-Contra. These are the normal types of problems that you have in a constitutional democracy, when people try to respect constitutional norms and fail, or they overreach, or they abuse their power in a way that you could understand as being somehow a fair misunderstanding, or they tried. With the case of Trump, you have someone who's trying the exact opposite. They're trying to exceed the powers of the presidency and exceed constitutional norms and really take over a large section of the U.S. government. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe he'll just be an incompetent president. Maybe he'll be a boob. Maybe he'll be out in 4 years. Maybe he'll just be another Republican president. You can't be certain. But from the campaign and from the people he's appointed, we are looking at a much worse problem. This looks like a Nazi takeover of the U.S. government. I don't have any other way to say it that isn't...
Right. And what about...
I'm not scaremongering. That's just what it appears on its face.
And what and about... I was just going to say, you know, what about the fact that he really didn't technically win?
Look, the fact that there was systematic problems in the election, the fact that state exit polls are off by 6%, it's true, but you can't fix it. I agree with you. I don't think he won the vote in Pennsylvania. I think that there was modifications of the vote tallies. But whether that's true or not, it's up to the state of Pennsylvania to certify its results. And the state of Pennsylvania has people in charge of voting. They're the ones who are supposed to determine fraud.
And voter purge.
People have failed already.
We
can't do anything about it.
Voter purge.
I'm looking to see what can be done. And what can be done is to petition your state governments to have your governors declare that they mistrust the administration. To have your state assemblies declare that they mistrust the administration.
Right.
They don't believe the federal government is going to act in their interest.
Right. There's got to be something that people can do. I mean, come on. This is, like, ridiculous, you know?
Well, I'm suggesting something. I'm suggesting a state-level mini-revolt. Not something to violate the Constitution, but something to prevent. In the case where you don't trust the federal government, you need to be doubly vigilant. Reagan used to say this, trust but verify.
Well, verify.
I've been saying this since 1970.
In your state, make sure it's not doing anything criminal. Make sure that in the state, they can't file bogus, harassing, anti-press lawsuits. Okay, make sure that in your state, defamation law is not allowed to go from the president to the press. You can't have a president filing a lawsuit because the press said something bad against him. That's a state-by-state issue. Make sure that your state audits every Homeland Security office to make sure that they can't do what people did in the 1930s, which is to attack their own people and claim the Polish people did it. What happened in the 1930s. Make sure you have auditing of every activity that happens. And if there is non-compliance, it's up to the governors. The governors of your state to protect your state, to make sure that the National Guard in your state is able to break free.
But even before, this election, the people's rights have been deteriorating for a long time.
That's right. I like the way Bill Maher said it. It's a slow rolling coup. I think that was his phrase. Did you hear the Bill Maher's phrase on this?
Well, I've kind of said the same thing. Like there's, whatever you might say about James Madison, he had a really good quote that it's my favorite and I say it all the time, which goes, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by slow and gradual encroachments by those in power than by sudden and violent usurpations. To me, it's the slow and gradual you have to watch out for way more than, by the time it gets to be sudden and violent, the slow and gradual has already, done its damage.
Yes, but I agree with you. But that was an issue for a decade ago with the surveillance and all these things. That was an issue we could fix then. We are now in a position where we can't do that anymore. The surveillance state is already ingrained. It's a method of getting money to the states. Okay? The drone programs that assassinate, they've already been entrenched. People have been doing it for a long time. Obama was elected with a promise to roll back those violations of civil rights. He didn't do it. And Trump, despite not having any policy, implicitly was banking on the hopes of people that he would do something about the totalitarian state. Because a lot of his supporters are extreme right-wingers, and I agree with them on liberty. One must not give an inch on liberty. And those supporters that are extreme right-wingers who believe in liberty, you can find common cause with them if there is a totalitarian encroachment. They are not your enemies. A lot of the people voted for Trump did so with the belief in liberty, in the belief of freedom of people from intrusion by the state. Not so in Trump's campaign. Trump's campaign has wanted to expand surveillance, to introduce torture, to assassinate people and their families. This is the worst possible violations of anything. It's just inhuman. These are the tactics of Nazi Germany. But the people who voted for him, by and large, support liberty. And if you support liberty, please talk to your state government officials, because this is the last opportunity you have to place a barrier between yourself and potential totalitarian dictatorship. And I wish I were exaggerating.
I could be exaggerating.
It could be that in 3 years, everything's fine. But I'm not going to be here to watch. I'm leaving the country. So please make sure that the people, I would stay here and fight. I really would. I can't. I am not a well-connected person. I have a family. And I want them to be safe.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
I hear
And
you.
I want to point out that you can't live in fear. I am. I do as I say, not as I do, but I don't know what to do. I know there's a lot of people feeling the same desperation.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping to reach those people and ask them to talk to their governors. I've already sent a letter to my state's assemblyman.
Did you ask for
emergency meeting of the State Assembly of New York.
Maybe we should make a trip up to Albany and get a whole bunch of people to go and be like, come on, we need to do something about this.
If you would like to march on Albany, I would be there that day.
Maybe we
we better do it soon.
Yeah.
Because on January 20th, these people take power.
Right, instead of protesting outside of Trump Tower, you know, like, yeah, let's organize something.
Well, I wondered why this is happening outside Trump Tower, not in front of Albany.
So let's
because
do
Albany
it.
Albany can protect you to a large extent. Albany has a lot of power. Albany is capable of doing something about this.
Thank you.
Washington is not.
Yeah.
Washington is, in some sense, the Democrats in Washington, the opposition, they can't do very much. They have no position of power anymore. Everything was taken away from them. And if this guy gets into power, and then there won't be an opposition. He'll win with 80% of the vote in 2020. It'll be like Putin in Russia at best. And at worst, I don't even want to say. At worst, you'll be looking at a human rights violation you haven't seen for 70 years. Okay, that's the worst.
Yeah.
But at best, it's like Putin.
I hear
and
you.
I am not willing to live in a state that degenerates from a democracy, from a republic, to an authoritarian state.
Thank you very much, Ron Maimon, who was part of the rally march against Trump and Bannon on Saturday from Queens, which I'm sure there's more to come. So, yeah, like we'll talk again about organizing a bus up to Albany one day soon. So thank you
very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Have a good evening.
You too. All righty. So coming up is my recorded interview